Well, praise the Lord. Let me just share a couple of quick things with you. Honestly, tonight I don't want to go very far. I want to pray. One of the things that I find out about a lot of people is they don't understand that God really does hear their prayers. And God really cares about people who call upon His name. And most people that you find that are out there starting to pray or wanting to pray are not really very good prayer people. In fact, probably most people that are in this room tonight are not very good prayer people, including me. But you know what? I want to be encouraged. And one of the neat things about what we're doing is we gather together on Sunday nights and we hear a short little message about prayer, and it becomes an encouragement to us to pray. And I don't know that if you know this or not, but God hears your prayers. And because you don't get a response right away doesn't mean that God doesn't hear. Because you don't get an answer immediately and some confirming thing that you prayed about doesn't mean God doesn't care and love you very much and it's not going to come to pass ever. It's going to come to pass in God's season, in God's time. And may I just share this with you? I'd like to take you for a moment to the beginning of prayer in the Bible. Most people don't understand when that took place. I want to share it with you tonight. The beginning of prayer, what God expects in the Scripture. I want to say this because next week, and I believe it's next week, Pastor Deborah is going to start on Sunday night. She's going to start a series on the Day of the Lord. That's end time understanding. Is a bit of eschatology in there, Book of Revelation, and it's going to be great. And we're going to pray, but we're not going to, you know, pray like we do and how we've been praying. So that I want you to get conditioned tonight to continue your prayer time. We may go back to it after the Day of the Lord and after the teaching's finished. Get back into prayer. We'll see what God has for us. We want to be not people who design what we do, but we want to be people who follow the designer. His name is Jesus. And what He does and what He has for us, that's what we want. We know that we're going to be here talking about prayer and praying tonight. We know that next few weeks we're going to be in the understanding of end times, because who knows where we're at. A lot of questions right now about earthquakes and a lot of questions about the economy worldwide. Greece just declaring bankruptcy. Iceland has already declared bankruptcy. Portugal's about ready to go. 3,000 banks in America about ready to tip over almost immediately, guys. This has never been anything that I have ever seen before in my life, is an economic condition that we're in right now. And nothing seems to be turning it back. And so we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of great faith during these periods of time. If God, listen to me now, if God is in control, there's nothing for you to worry about. If God has a season for everything, there's nothing for you to be upset about. And we need to be a people that remember this and constantly go before the Lord in our time of prayer. I want to take you to Genesis, the 4th chapter. It's kind of an interesting story. It takes place in Genesis, the 4th chapter. We're talking about a couple of people that are very popular, but we never go past them in the understanding of their life, Cain and Abel. Remember in Genesis, the 4th chapter, Adam and Eve had two sons at this particular point. One was Cain and one was Abel. Cain was a rascal. He did things his own way and ended up killing Abel. Abel was truly someone who was going to carry on a relationship with God. And the Bible tells us clearly that he followed the ways of the Lord that was pleasing to the Lord. And yet Cain was jealous, and Cain comes along, and you see in the first family the first murder. So for some of you that think you screwed up your families, here's Adam and Eve, and there's a murder in their children and a murder in their house right off the bat. So here's the godly person being murdered by that which one's ungodly. A lot of people never read past that, never understand past that, but it's really fascinating what takes place. You'll find that Cain is driven from the presence of the Lord. If you continue in chapter number 4, he's literally driven from the presence of the Lord, and his children, his offsprings, as they go forth in life, develop manufacturing, develop industry, develop arts and crafts and skills, and develop educational programs. They get into the world system. And they're the ones that you'll find that businesses sprang from, that the economics sprang from, you'll find that people who put their heart in the things of this world. But there was one that was out there that was supposed to carry a heartbeat for God. His name was Abel, and he had passed away because he was murdered by his brother Cain. Kind of a creepy story. So we have this bad family on the earth, and they're developing all the industry, agriculture, the Bible tells us, arts and crafts and all of this things that are going on, manufacturing everything. And then all of a sudden, the one that was supposed to have relationship with God is Abel, and he's dead. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number, I believe it's 25, the fourth chapter, that Adam gets together and knows his wife Eve again, and she brings forth a son. And as she brings forth a son, his son's name is Seth. And it's kind of an interesting verse. Let's take a look at it, because in the life of Seth, you will find the beginning of all prayer unto the Lord. Genesis, the fourth chapter, take a look. I don't have verse number 25 up on the overhead, but I'll put it up, 26 up there, but I'll read you verse number 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and his name was Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. So here comes God, knowing what he's doing and how to make everything work. When things look lost, when things look like there's no hope, when things look like they have failed, I want you to know that God, He is in control. And where you will find that Abel was the one that was going to carry on that relationship with God, he's gone, he's out of the picture. God still is not stopped by that at all. And I want you to know that as you face your life and as you face the future and things don't go the way you want them to go or expect them to go or think they should go, I want you to know that God is the one who makes it all work. You don't have to be afraid of anything. God makes it all work. He takes nothing, He makes something out of it. He takes the broke, makes them rich. He takes the broken, makes them healed. He takes the ones that are down, brings them up. He takes the losers and makes them winners. God takes those that are dead and puts someone in his place. Here, as you'll see, that Seth is coming into his place. Now we go to verse number 26 of Genesis, the fourth chapter, and it says this, and as for Seth, speaking of the one that was born of Adam and Eve, as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Then, I love this, men, we ought to highlight these words. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. The others didn't care. From the family, if you will, of Cain, didn't care. They cared about what the world had to offer. They cared about business. They cared about money. Now, God's not telling you that business and money is bad and evil, but I want you to know something. God's got to be first. God has got to be first. And when there's a people that will not serve the Lord, God will always raise up somebody who will. That's why I'm so thrilled to see the youth up here tonight. Because I'll tell you what, when the days come when we're out of here, these young people are the ones that are going to preach the gospel and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And we may have gone so far, but we're believing they're like arrows in our quiver, and they're going to go further because we're going to shoot them further than we could ever go. And that's the way God is. He brings somebody, and not just somebody that does nothing, not someone who's just hooked into the world, but then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And here is what he's talking about. That's what you and I do when we pray. We call upon the name of the Lord. We call upon that name that is above every name. At that name, every knee will bow. I want you to know something. When you call upon the name of Jesus, you're not just calling upon some mental thing going on. You're not calling upon some organizational plan. You're not calling upon some a government situation. You're calling upon a name that cannot give up, cannot quit, and cannot fail, has never failed. I want you to think about it just for a moment. Where Cain killed off Abel, God raised up Seth, and then men came from Seth that called on the name of the Lord. When the world killed off Jesus, Jesus was raised from the dead, raising you up as people who call upon the name of the Lord. Are you listening to me? Thank God we're part of that. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, you got to get a picture of this. God cares about answering your prayers. He hears you. The Bible tells us clearly in the New Testament that when we call upon the name of the Lord, He hears what we have to say. The Bible even goes further than that. He says He answers what we have requested of Him. That if we pray according to His will, He is going to answer it. The answer to it is yes and amen. My goodness, we've got promises. Haven't we been talking about that on Wednesday night? We have got promises on the things of God. My goodness sakes. Listen to what it says in Psalm 65. Go there with me. In Psalm 65, let's take a look at it together. Psalm 65, and when you get to Psalm 65, look at, if you will with me, verse number 2. And it says these words, "O you who hears prayer," not just me, not your neighbor, not just for yourself, even though it's good for you to pray for yourself, and I'll explain what I mean about that in a moment. But "O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come." You know who that is he's talking about? He's talking about God. He hears our prayer. But I want you to know that, did you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? It builds you up on the inside. It'll build you strong in faith to be a prayer person. Listen to me now. It'll also relieve all the pressures that come against you. How? By praying. If you sit around and worry, you sit around and wait for something to happen. I can hardly wait for the mailman to deliver. Maybe today something will come in the mail. I can hardly wait for someone to call me about that job. I want you to know that's not the way to do it. Here's the way to do it. Start making petitions to God. When I was a young man, my mom used to cook with something called a pressure cooker. You young people don't even know what that is. It's a big pot. And when you cooked on it, it had a top, it kind of like screwed on, and it had a little valve on top. It was a pressure cooker. And the pressure, when it built up on the inside, would go through this valve, and it would go through. Does anybody remember pressure cookers? Oh, don't raise your hand. We know how old you are now. And that pressure cooker, boy, it released the pressure from that cooking experience because it had that little valve. I really believe that prayer is a little valve that releases the pressure in your life. Because when you pray, you get to cast your cares on the one that hears you. When you pray, you get to give it over to Him. When you pray, you get to say, "Wow, I no longer have that problem. I've given it to Him." Here's what happens when you pray. You've got to leave it there instead of taking it back and worrying about it. And a lot of people will pray and then look for the circumstance. Don't get the circumstance. Take back the problem. Now you're just like the food cooking in the pot, and now you've got the pressure. Let the pressure out. Give it to God. He hears what you have to say. And listen to this. When you give it to God, leave it there, and you walk away free of whatever it is you're praying and believing God for. Here's why. Because it relieves you as you do. So it not only builds faith to pray, but it also will relieve all the problems and the pressures. And may I say this to you? There's a reason that men call upon the name of the Lord, and the reason is because you get answered prayers. God just changes things. It is the plan. Oh, hear me now. It is the plan. Oh, you got to hear me now. It is the plan of God for the house of God to be a house of prayer. My goodness, and we have a lot of services all week long. We have 9 of them during the week, and we're ministering to thousands. I think there's some 15,000 people that come in a week's period of time, some 22,000 people. I don't know where the other 7 or 8,000 people are. They come every now and then, but there's at least 15,000 that come every week. And, you know, we don't get together and just pray. We teach, we build, we encourage, we direct, we motivate them to have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. What for? So that they can go before God, to the one that hears, make their petitions known because he hears, get into a place of faith, release the pressure out of their life so they can live great lives, and then watch and believe God to change the world that we live in. And it all comes from a little situation, a little thing, a little expression, when you call upon the name of the Lord. God wants you to call upon the name of the Lord for little things. Some people say, oh, this is so little, I'll just handle it myself. Don't do that. God wants you to trust him so much that you don't just trust him with the big things, that you get tuned in with him on the little things. And you make those small prayers of petition and you lay it before the Lord, because guess what? If he is your everything, and if he is your breath, and if he is your life, then the little things are important to him as the big things are. And don't be afraid to call upon the name of the Lord, because God made you. You're on the side, not of Cain, but you're coming from that tribe of Seth and, if you will, Abel, that call upon the name of the Lord. Anybody listening? Go with me, if you will, last verse for tonight in Isaiah 56. Let's take a look at it. In Isaiah 56, and when you get to Isaiah 56, I just want to read this to you. It's kind of cool. In verse number 7, even then I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. The other thing that you'll do, you'll not only have faith, you'll only have the pressure relieved, you'll not only change the world around you, but can I tell you something? Prayer makes you happy. When you pray, boy, you're all of a sudden, because the pressure's off, you get the joy. Notice what he says. He says, I'll make them joyful where? In my, where? House of prayer. You are a walking, living, talking house of prayer. Don't sit back and be brain dead waiting for someone else to pray for you. They don't know what you have to pray. They don't know what you feel. You need to personally yourself let yourself be known to God, calling on the name of the Lord so that he knows who you are and feels what you feel. They can't feel what you feel. They don't know what you know. They don't know what you want. They can't intercede for you. You stand there and do it yourself. God wants you to do it, and God will make you full of joy when you're finished. I don't know about you, but when I drive home after prayer meeting on Sunday night, here's the way it really is. I find myself and Deborah in the car just laughing and saying, thank you, God. We had such a great time this weekend. I mean, there's two old people really tired, and we're just having a great time. I feel like stopping the car on the freeway and just doing a jig, but I know I'd get arrested. And I don't do it, but I want you to know prayer makes you happy, and you'll be full of joy in the house of prayer. But the verse doesn't stop right there. It says their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my, I love the, see the capital M there? They're talking about God. My house of prayer shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. And tonight, here we are. You are. Oh, someone say, I am. Nah, someone play. Come on, play with me a little bit tonight. Someone say, I am.
I am.
One more time. I am. The house of prayer. I don't have to just go in the church. I am a house of prayer. And I can call upon the Lord. He'll make me happy. He'll set me free. He'll relieve the pressure. He'll build my faith. And guess what? I'll get answers to prayer. That's good news, house of prayer.